Yeah, Frank here has got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's what do you call it, Kramer?
Billiard room.
No, not billiard. Not the billiards. It was...
Billiards room.
Come on already. Come on. We call it the...
The place to be.
The place to be. Yes, the place to be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Time to play the game!
Well, you always left me satisfied and smiling, so...
But that's what she said.
Why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it is now time for the Place to Be podcast. And now your hosts, Justin Rosero and Scott Criscolo.
Very nice, Mr. Criscolo. $2 means a snack for me, but it means a big deal to you. Be strong, serve God only. Know that if you do, beautiful heaven awaits. Asked to pull my rope for the first time. I saw a man with no clothes, no money, no plate, Mr. Wendell. That's his name. No one ever knew his name, cause he's a no one. Never thought twice about spending on an old bum until I had a chance to really get to know one. Now that I know him, to give him money isn't charity. He gives me some knowledge, I buy him some shoes.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to another great episode of the one and only Place to Be podcast. I am your co-host, Justin Rosero, and with me, as always, is my partner in crime, my PIC, Scott Criscolo. Scott, how you doing?
JR, it is always a pleasure, my friend. Welcome, everyone, to episode 120 of the Place to Be podcast. Wow, we've already 20 episodes out of the new year.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Amazing. And again,
we might hit episode 200 next month.
And we're going to be a little more stringent with our invites this time, so we don't have any other issues, but you know what I mean. Welcome, everyone, to our weekly cornucopia of fun and games headlines show. The usual fare, we'll go over Raw, which was an interesting show, back and forth. And then, of course, we actually will go over, for the first time, rarely, a SmackDown that's already happened.
Yes.
We had the live SmackDown on Tuesday. For those that missed it, like me, they usually do re-air it on the normal Friday night, 8
right.
o'clock
yeah,
slot.
Yeah, I think they are. And I did watch the whole thing, so I'll be able
yeah,
to
I didn't,
get a pretty
I,
good
I,
synopsis.
I All right, good. I missed it because I didn't. My DVR didn't catch it. It never catches the lives. I caught a couple clips on WWE.com today, and then of course we'll go over what couple of matches set for our next pay-per-view outing, which is of course Extreme Rules, Sunday, April 29th, live from the Allstate Arena in Chi-Town, and then of course our usual news and notes fair brought to you by our good friends at WrestleChat.net. And if we have time, well, not that we have a limit, but if we're not going too long. We'll give you our early season baseball picks for the 2012 season. Things have been a little unpredictable over the first week, but we'll do our rock-solid picks for you if we have some time later. So, PIC, why don't we dive right into Monday night?
P.S., your cunt is in the sink.
And let me tell you something, it's a big sink right now, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
Because he's all over it.
He is, and he kicked off this week's edition of Raw, came out and brought out, well, he was... I lost my spot here. Okay, he comes out with David Otunga, and then he brings out Brock Lesnar. He calls him the new face of WWE. Someone's out there to entertain the fans. He's a pure athlete, and someone who's going to bring some respect and legitimacy back to the promotion. And, of course, he announces that Lesnar will be taking on John Cena at Extreme Rules, and I'm going to put the brakes on immediately here, my PIC, and ask you your thoughts when you first heard that.
I was a little stunned. I'm not going to lie. I know you and I had talked about this on last week's headline show about what the schedule would be for the next big thing. And this is a huge shock for a couple reasons. Number one, I didn't think Brock was ready. I wasn't sure if he was in shape yet. Mm-hmm. There were rumors that he was – I don't see. I mean, I don't think Brock will ever be flabby, but maybe he needed just kind of get his stamina, his cardio up a little bit. And number two – maybe they think that – are they really worried about this pay-per-view not having any kind of a buy rate? I mean, this is Brock and Cena we're talking about here. This isn't, kind of ironic that, 9 years ago, their only pay-per-view meeting was the exact same show, the fourth pay-per-view of the year.
The only thing I can think of is that they just have a lot planned for Lesnar. They know they only have so many dates, and they want to get as much out of him as they can. So they're going with Cena now, trying to pop a buy rate. and then maybe move things along in a different direction. I mean, maybe the plan still for Cena to turn heel after this. Who knows what they got planned? And I'm guessing they're going to try and get two or three shows out of this feud, I would think. And
yeah,
then
think so.
Transition Brock over to someone else for SummerSlam. That'd be my prediction.
Yeah, I would think so, too. What the only weird thing is you're already blowing... Although they technically have not announced a gimmick yet for
right.
this match. So, and obviously it's going to have one. That's the whole point of the Extreme Rules pay-per-view. But you're already going to blow off a gimmick now and then have a couple more gimmicks. You know, whatever. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm not going to speculate on anything, but I was surprised. I was surprised. But, you know, this is a loaded roster, and maybe they don't think this is a WrestleMania-worthy match, or maybe obviously Brock.
Well, I think it is, but I think they have other things planned, and I think we talked about those things.
Yeah, so.
Last week. You know, I do think the plan for them is Cena Undertaker, because I think they think they can get at least one more match out of Taker, and they have to do that one. So that takes Cena up for that.
Right. Well, we do have a Taker story in our news and notes later. So but yeah, and to answer your question, yeah, I was a little shocked. Am I looking forward to the match? Yeah, absolutely. Based on what you're about to say in a moment. That happened at the beginning. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely looking forward to the match, but yeah,
right.
Continue.
Yeah, so Lesnar comes out, thanks Laurinaitis, and actually let me ask you this other thing, because this is another question I saw pop up a few places. Mm-hmm. What do you think of Lesnar being a heel? Now, I think he works best as a heel, but do you think it's kind of futile, however you want to say it, for them to do this? Do you think he's going to get cheered either way, especially against Cena? You know, being Brock is just a badass and everyone loves him, and especially being put in this position, just returning, you know, is it kind of a tough spot to try and get people to boo him?
Well, obviously, they were in a weird spot bringing him in, because Cena's popularity for that brief moment in time last Monday night, his popularity was in the toilet. Mm-hmm. He was getting booed like crazy. The "you're a loser" chants were pretty loud. I mean, he left it all out there, and I'm, you know, for a guy who, and I did this with Shawn Michaels. Excuse me, I was a not a big John Cena fan for a very long time, not a very long time, but a good few years, and I am totally in his camp right now for many reasons, and last week was one of them. He really made himself whatever they need him to be. The guy has a knack for fitting in that slot. So at the moment, no, it's probably not a good idea. But if they are planning on Brock and his opponents down the line, he has no choice but to be a heel. But here's the problem. There's so many heels on this roster. They're so face light right now. Adding another heel
right.
is just overloading it. I mean, if you want to say it, Funkhauser there pretty much has three quarters of the roster on his side.
Yeah, yeah.
If you count both shows. Literally, seriously, JR, you can count the number of top flight baby faces now on one hand. Really. Cena, Orton, Punk.
Sheamus.
There you go. Maybe one or two more.
I'll tell you who they could use right now, and I don't think it's going to happen just because of kind of what's gone down since, but Jeff Hardy's a guy that could really use as a guy, a surefire overface that you know the crowd's always going to be behind. He's a guy that would probably fit in perfectly right now in that main event scene.
Yeah, I mean, every guy, Big Show, but he's in the mid-card, right? He's Intercontinental Champion. But other than that, and Big Show, unfortunately, is kind of his, and I love Big Show, but his usefulness as a top flight roster guy is over.
Right, with Triple H not really being a in-ring competitor right now for the most part, and Undertaker on the sidelines. Yeah, you really are witnessing quite the dearth of face stars. And, you know, they kind of put themselves in this position. That's a debate for another day or for every day.
Right.
That they,
yeah, I know.
You know, they haven't really set themselves up to be successful. So it'll be interesting. I mean, I get why they put Lesnar. Do you think it was a good idea to saddle him with Laurinaitis, though, or do you think he works better on his own? Do you think he kind of looks like a stooge or a goof, just being Laurinaitis' muscle?
No, not at all. I think this part B of your question goes along with part A. I think Marty is a heat magnet right now. You literally just want to punch him in the face every time he's on camera. That's good.
So you don't think it takes away from Lesnar's presence, though, kind of making him like his toady? Like, would have this been better role for Lord Tensai instead, and then you have Lesnar strike out on his own?
Well, no, because I think all Lesnar was saying was, I thank John Laurinaitis for bringing me here. It doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be side by side with him every week.
Mm-hmm.
I think he just went out there to say, I think he was putting over Laurinaitis as this,
right,
you know, scumbag asshole, and he's doing a very good job of it. I think he was just kind of if anything, I think Brock was piggybacking Laurinaitis' heel heat, which I can't believe I'm actually saying that, but it's the truth. I don't think they're going to hang out together or anything. I think it's just – I think that's that feud, Cena and Brock over the next – what would it be? 3 weeks, I guess, are going to be – I think they're going to be standalones. I don't think you're going to see – I don't think you'll see Brock even in the ring before then.
Oh, no. So, wrestling, no. Definitely not.
No, definitely not. So I think the two of them will do their own thing. I think Laurinaitis – I think he just mentioned Laurinaitis just to kind of suck the heel heat
Honestly,
on him,
you know, if they were smart – I would make Brock a pay attraction only. I would not have him wrestle on TV at all. I'd have him appear on TV, but I would keep all his in-ring matches on pay-per-view. Make people pay for him. Keep something unique and special with this guy. Don't give away his matches for free.
I agree. You need that right now.
He hasn't wrestled on TV in 8 years, so it's pretty new. You know, they don't really have anyone else they can make that claim with at this point, unless they stole someone from TNA that's never really been there, but...
Right.
I would make him a unique special deal where you have to pay. You can have him wrestle on every pay-per-view if you want, but make people pay for it, definitely. So,
yeah.
All right, so Cena came out after Lesnar ran his mouth, and Cena just smiled, walked up, and just smacked Lesnar in the face pretty hard.
That was awesome.
They started brawling. The locker room emptied out. This is what a lot of people wanted to see Cena and Rock do a few weeks ago leading into Mania, but we get it here. And I really like that overhead camera angle they used during this fight as well, and you could see the stars start to break him up, and Cena's mouth got busted open pretty bad, and you know, he's smirking with the blood all over the place, and they kept breaking through all the officials and fighting, and finally got broken up. And I really loved this opening segment. I thought this was going to be a great episode of Raw just based on this first, 10 minutes here. And I was pretty pumped up thinking, wow, we're going to have another great show. But as we see, things kind of torpedoed a bit from that.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think you mentioned it, the awesome visual of Cena smiling with his face, with his teeth all mangled and his lips all swollen. That was awesome. I think we're seeing a different side of John Cena now. I really like this now. He's not a heel, but he's not sugary anymore. It's a little salt in the sugar.
He's getting his ass kicked every week.
Yeah, and he's getting pissed. And it's not that fake pissed. You know what I mean? It's not like that phony pissed like the Vancouver Canucks. Right. Phony tough.
Extreme Rules is going to be very interesting because you can't job Brock out in his first match back because he's going to be here for a year. So he's obviously going to win this match. Now, is maybe a reason they're having it this soon the impetus for eventual Cena snapping? He loses again, and maybe he even takes some time off for a little bit, and then, we just talked about how they have too many heels, though, so I guess maybe heel turn wouldn't be the best idea unless you turn someone face corresponding with him, but...
Well, we got one big... we've one big event coming up that's going to hopefully solve some problems, and that is, of course, the draft.
Even if they have a draft, there's no big faces on SmackDown to bring over. I mean, who do they have?
I know. Right now it's Sheamus.
Yeah, there's no one really they can switch over. I mean, I don't know, honestly. I don't know who they got that can really help them mix things up. Now, Miz, I don't know if he can be elevated that quickly. So
as a face, no.
Yeah.
They're going to find a reason for fans to – you know what? Miz's face turn is a word – and I'm going to use a word that you and I use often, mostly you. Cena's face turn – or not Cena. Miz's face turn has to be organic.
Right.
You can't force him to be a face. It's not going to work.
I think it could have been like halfway through last year, but they didn't do it, and now it's probably too late. I mean, one guy who could have an organic face turn is Dolph Ziggler. Now, I think he's better suited as a heel, but you know what? There may not be a lot of room for him on the heel side right now anyway, so maybe he would be better off if he did turn face for a little bit and then maybe goes heel again, kind of, the Rock mold.
Right. Where, I just thought of another baby face, but he's involved in our next segment, so when you move on.
I think even Jack Swagger could be a pretty good face if they turn him and push him strongly. So, I mean, I think they have some guys. They just have done a shitty job making them look good. Sheamus, they finally got behind over the last, 8 months, and he was built up to be a monster, and he won the title. Let me throw an interesting name out there for you as a possible face as well. How about Chris Jericho?
He's getting sort of cheered now, and it's not an anti-punk thing. It's Jericho's just good at what he does, and I think you can make Jericho a face in a heartbeat. I would not be surprised if it gets to that point, because you don't even have to organically make him a face. You can just position Jericho in a feud with a heel, and he'll be cheered. Period.
What if he goes over to SmackDown? And, goes up to Daniel Bryan and says, hey, you know what? This has nothing to do with good versus evil. I don't like people saying they're the best in the world and thinking they're, you know, the best wrestler ever. That's me, not you. And I don't care if it's Punk or Daniel Bryan. You know, and then he just kind of turns face by feuding with Bryan and trying to shut him up.
That's
so.
Well, and I think that's a good idea. And then from that, of course, you get a probably a pretty damn good match.
Right.
So
I mean, that's just one guy that could probably the easiest to be switched and have some main event cred if you didn't want to flop Cena over to heel or if you just want to fortify the face ranks anyway.
Well, what's funny is you've got two. You know, it's sad, but for once, and we mentioned this before, for once, WWE has needs something that TNA has. Not just Jeff Hardy, but a guy that I always talk about, and he'd be a face the minute the music played, and that's, of course, Kurt. You walk Kurt through the door, the place will go fucking insane. You know that. Of course, his head's got a...
Yeah, I don't think they want to touch him only because he just... So much baggage. Baggage there. He's such a head case, and... you know, this whole thing, where there's a rumor that he tore his hamstring and he can't compete in the Olympics, and then he's denying it, and I don't know. This is all this crap going around. So, I don't know what's going.
Sucks, doesn't it? Though it just does, because the guy, you know, he still has, he could have a lot left in him. I wonder if life in TNA is worse than it seems for him. I think the structure of WWE would be great for him right now.
I don't know if the toll on his body would be the problem. I mean, unless you make him not work house shows at all and you just have him just be on TV.
How many house shows is Brock going to probably be in?
No. I mean, he's only doing, what, 30-something dates, so.
Yeah, so there you go. But anyway,
we were kind of saying, you know, if we need another top face in the promotion, I mean, if he comes in and he's not really working the circuit, is, you know. This is the problem. See, we're going to all these retreads. They need to build new names. That's the problem.
Well, yeah, that is true. Yeah. I don't disagree with you on that. I'm just saying.
And we're looking at Rock, Brock, you know, all these guys are bringing back, and we're trying to say, oh, let's bring back Kurt Angle, and, you know, we're going to bring Hogan back. You know, at some point, they need to come up with.
We're going to WrestleMania 18 again. That's what we're going to have.
Last match, I think, was 1991.
I mean, they could bring him back.
Oh, he could be a top flight face.
Yes.
He could use the Sin Cara entrance and use his trampoline to get to the ring.
Well, he doesn't do tricks, though, so he'd have to just bounce straight up.
Well, yeah, he would. Yeah, he does. Yeah. But he's just got to be involved. Just involve him, and maybe he'll do some tricks. Just involve him.
Okay. All right, let's move along then. So that was a good opener, and from there, things kind of start to slow down. We had Brodus Clay teaming with Santino Marella against Jack Swagger and Dolph Ziggler. And it's good to see Brodus kind of involved in a feud. I thought that was a nice little change now, past the squash matches. And him and Santino are a unique little team. And, you know, Brodus was pretty over on his own, but putting him with Santino will gain him some extra cheers, too.
Yeah, there's a guy that could, and I was about to say, there's a guy that could... that could very easily be used. I mean, obviously, it's very early, but, you know.
I don't know. I think he might be a little too goofy.
Nah, maybe.
To be a legit... I mean, I think his shelf life is like Rikishi. You know what I mean? Like, upper-mid-card, but not a legitimate main event player.
Occasional, if you need a body, like Rikishi was, like, at the end of 2000 kind of thing. Yeah,
I did get annoyed here because Dolph ate the pin. I don't see why. You got Swagger right there. He's not going anywhere. Dolph is... part of their future, and it's just kind of aggravating to see what they're doing. I'm really hoping they move him to SmackDown and put him in a feud with Sheamus. You know, I just thought of another guy they can make a face that could really become a main event guy that they could use, and that's Christian.
Yeah, yeah. If he stays away from Orton, then, you know, I mean, maybe...
Well, they have to put him on Raw. This is all contingent on Cena going heel, because, you know, with Cena and Punk as the main faces on Raw, that's already plenty of big-name guys. I mean, maybe you have a third guy that they could help raise up, but... if Cena goes heel, they need someone to fill that void, and this could be Christian's chance. I don't know if they'll ever give it to him, but...
Well, they might work something out where, you know, Christian was promised a world title match. He could use that. He was promised a world heavyweight title match if he teamed at WrestleMania, and then he got hurt, you know, the whole storyline thing. And they could use that and say, you promised me, and Laurinaitis could tell him to go pound sand, and, you know, they could work something out. But, yeah, Christian could definitely... He'll get the cheers again, easily.
All right, so then we got R-Truth versus Cody Rhodes, but Big Show comes out and does more of the video stuff and distracts Cody, and R-Truth gets the win. Now, does it look like to you like they're heading towards a rematch at Extreme Rules?
Yes, I agree. Yeah,
and hopefully definitely. Cody regains the title.
Regains the title. I do like this little slump, though, that's good for him. It's a good. It's kind of a good test of his character.
And it's not a losing streak, per se, where he's just losing matches like, you know, they did with Drew McIntyre or, you know, other guys in the past. It's done well where it's...
Big Show's causing him.
Right, exactly. You know, so it's working well. It's almost like, I want to compare it to like 1997 with Brian Pillman when he was in the dress. You know, he kept losing matches and keeping the dress on, but it was because Goldust kept interfering and costing him matches. So.
Yeah, but Pillman probably liked being in the dress. You never know what's going on in his head at that point.
All right, I'm going to ask you off the bat. Do you want to talk about the Three Stooges, or are we just skipping this?
Please skip it. Okay. I could care less.
Okay. We got another Lord Tensai match. This time he fought Yoshitatsu, and I actually liked the little storyline I threw in here where the announcers were talking about how Yoshi put on Twitter that he was pissed off about, you know, how Lord Tensai is not really Japanese. And I guess on the website they did reveal that it was Albert. So they're not really hiding it. Of course, there's an Albert chant. So at this point, I'm wondering if, I don't know, I'm wondering if they should have just kept him as A-Train or Albert, even if they wanted to do the Japanese gimmick with him.
But, Lord Albert.
Yeah, they could have done that. I mean, this is just, the crowd's going to ruin him. And this started last week with the crowd, the crowd kind of being smarky and snarky, and they kind of set off this ripple effect now with, this is going to happen, I think, week after week. So
he looks great, though. He really does. I think he looks awesome.
He does, but I'm afraid he's done. I don't know. I'm afraid he didn't get over enough these first couple weeks, and he just seems to kind of have been a bit of a dead spot on these shows, and I just don't know if... I think they should have had him on SmackDown. I really do. I think they could have sweetened the crowd noise a little bit, maybe cut down his match a little bit. I think just throwing him out there on Raw for long squash matches just was not the way to go. I mean, when we get to SmackDown, I'm going to compare him to someone to show maybe how the booking could have been better with what he's done so far.
Mm.
Just wouldn't be shocked if he's off TV in 2 weeks and then bring him back a month later as Albert. honestly.
It's going to take a long time for him to grow his body hair back, but... Oh,
well, they could just do the whole... Whatever. You know, they stuck me with this name just because I'm from Japan. They could do something. Just with the crowd already turning on him and calling him Albert, I just don't see how they can keep avoiding it.
Are those tattoos on his face real?
No. His body, obviously.
Okay. No, his body is, but those, like, that Hakushi kind of thing, that's not... all right. I wasn't sure. I'd forgotten. But
all right, so
yeah, that's where the snarkiness... I just want to say real quick. That's where the snarkiness really sucks, because people should just get over it and just go with the flow, you know? Stop ruining things, you know?
It's he hasn't been around for almost 8 years.
Yeah, you know, just go with it. Just go with it, you know? But anyway.
All right, so then Punk comes out, you know, talks more about the straight edge stuff and rips into Jericho.
Good promo.
Yeah, very good promo. This, you know, this feud has been very good. And, you know, looking back, I'm kind of fine now with that they started this whole drunk stuff leading into Mania, knowing that this feud was really going to continue on and take this level. You know, it was good to get a head start, so now we're getting a good, solid 4 weeks of pay-per-view build with this angle going on. So Jericho showed up on the big screen again and just did more of the taunting of Punk. And said it's no longer about being the best in the world. Punk said that. It's now about kicking Jericho's ass. So they've done a good job making this personal. So then Mark Henry came out for their rematch. And Punk just snapped, rolled him out to the floor, and started bashing him with the monitor to lose by DQ. So Henry wins the match. Jericho came back out with 2 12-packs. And I don't know what kind of beer that was. Were you able to find out?
You know what? I have to... you know what? Let me pause the event center. Let's go to channel B of the event center.
Right.
I think I still have Raw on my thing.
All right, you check that out.
While
I run through this. So Mark Henry comes in and they're beating down Punk. Jericho hits a code breaker and then he starts dumping the beer all over Punk and talks some shit to him. So it looks like obviously they're definitely on a collision course for Extreme Rules, and we'll see what they they haven't added a stip yet for that, right?
For Jericho Punk?
Yeah. Okay. So, all right. So we'll see what they go with for that. So next up was Zack Ryder against Alberto Del Rio. Del Rio won that pretty easily. Then we get some of the Stooges hijinks. And of course, the main thing there was Will Sasso, who's playing Larry. Curly came out dressed as Hulk Hogan. And he got the shit kicked out of him by Kane. So
stupid.
Nothing but shit. Sasso's a big wrestling fan, so you knew he was going to do something where he's taking bumps or whatever. His Hogan impression was actually pretty good.
It was good. I'm so tired now. You know, you want to pump up, you know, some certain movies and stuff. That's one thing, but the movies should be good. This movie's probably going to be terrible.
Well,
and
they nothing to do with that. I mean, they just, you know, they go into a promotion opportunity with the movie, where the movie's probably paying them money to promote it. So I don't think they're going to sit there and say, oh, well, this isn't an Oscar-winning film. We're not going to get behind it. I mean, they're going to take the money. So, all right. So then backstage.
Let me see. Yeah, well, yeah, that's true. No, go ahead. Okay. I'm trying to get close up.
All right, backstage, Josh Matthews interviews Mark Henry, and he reveals that he's been given another title match. This time it'll be no DQ, no count out next week for the title. So I like this little mini feud they have going on to kind of keep Jericho and Punk apart in ring. You know, you have the Jericho attack still, but we have another interview with Brock Lesnar. Says he's proud to be back. talks about leaving years ago, going to the UFC, and they've actually started talking about UFC. There was rumors that they weren't going to mention that. They were just going to mention MMA and not UFC by name. Interesting there. And he said Cena wouldn't be able to hold his jockstrap in a million years, and he proved that. So good line at the end. I'm a war machine and ass kicker. I like that.
Incidentally, on a side note, earlier today I was watching just a Brock match. I was in that mood. I was watching one of your favorites, and mine, which is Brock and Kurt from WrestleMania 19. And Taz in that match actually mentions UFC, and Tito Ortiz was in the crowd.
In 19?
I actually have a Tito Ortiz story later as well. I got to be honest with you. I'm looking up close. It looks like the cans say Lord Tensai on them, to be honest with you. But I thought it was Old Milwaukee, but...
Yeah, I can't. It's hard to tell. Where was the show?
DC.
Okay.
I don't know. So I'm trying to think if it's a local beer. It might be a local beer. I don't know. Maybe it
could have been.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to come look. Hey, just tell us what the beer is.
Yeah, I'd like to find it. We could bring it to the bachelor party Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
All right, so main event was David Otunga versus John Cena, and Cena won that with the STF, and then Brock came out, and to me the highlight since the brawl in the beginning was Brock coming out and just kicking Cena in the balls and then hitting the F5 and walking off laughing.
I thought that was cool, too.
Such a great insult to injury. You know what I mean? It's like, he could have done anything he wants, and he just comes up from behind and just kicks him in the nuts. Like, Brock has just been already such a great dickhead heel, so...
Yeah, he's awesome.
You know, would it have been maybe better to be a face for the promotion? Yeah, but for entertainment value, him being an asshole heel that's all smug about his UFC career... is definitely the way to go. So the rating this past week was a 3.1, so it's down quite a bit from the 3.43 coming off of Mania. Surprising. I thought maybe a little bit higher with Brock coming back and all that, but
I mean
you knew they weren't going to sustain the 3.4, but I was thinking more maybe a 3.3, 3.2 at least.
The answer to your question is I have no idea.
Okay.
I can't tell. I thought it looked like the can said Lord Tensai on them, but they obviously don't. But like I thought when he first was holding the case, it looked like Old Milwaukee, but
just like the Marker Brothers theme. It's just one of those mysteries we'll never know.
With mysteries we'll never know the title of. Exactly. Ziggy Ziggy Ziggy. All right, go ahead.
Okay, so SmackDown. Now you said you get to watch some pieces. Did you watch the stuff I told you about?
Yeah, the only thing I did catch was the thing on with Hot Rod. That was the one part I did watch, and the beginning with Sheamus and Funky. Those are the only two parts I caught. No, I didn't see you. But was he in there too? Did he say that? That'd be a great show.
Yes. Okay, so live SmackDown from Hampton, Virginia, and of course it was Blast from the past night. Mean Gene starts to show off. He interviews Sheamus. Funky came out, as you said, and basically he's the Mr. McMahon of both shows. On Raw, he's kind of feuding with Punk and Cena, and now on SmackDown, he has issues with Sheamus. So he makes a tag match, Daniel Bryan, Alberto Del Rio versus Sheamus and Gene Okerlund, which is kind of weird. So I was hoping maybe they could find someone else. And he did put Sheamus on probation after he attacked the referee last week and said he'd be fined $500,000 if he touches another ref. So I'm wondering if this leads to Funkhauser being the guest referee at Extreme Rules or somewhere down the line.
The fine, I just want to confirm with you, he did get fined.
Oh, he did fine him.
Yeah, if he touches another ref,
he's
fired.
No, he said he's going to. Oh.
No, it says Laurinaitis says he's going to fine Sheamus the largest fine in WWE history, $500,000. If he touches another referee, even fine. By accident, then he's fired.
All right, so I'm wondering if they're going to do something where Laurinaitis is the referee for one of his matches and try to bait him into
ziggy-zigging him. Yeah, probably. So. Okay, should be interesting.
Yeah, so we'll see from there. Backstage, Randy Orton's Cowboy Bob walks in and wishes his son words of encouragement against Mark Henry. And, of course, that match is next, Orton versus Mark Henry. During the match, Kane came out and basically cut. Well, he came on the TitanTron. Oh, wait, did he come out? Or on the TitanTron? Yeah, on the TitanTron. Mm-hmm. And basically said it's fun, the whole family can enjoy. And they show Cowboy Bob laid out, and Orton runs off to the back, goes to check on his dad, and Kane whacks him with a lead pipe. So... I said, I was saying in the chat, if Kane really wants to be a heel, he should take a syringe full of Cowboy Bob's hepatitis C and spread it around the, spread it around the locker room.
I'm just thinking the same thing. That's kind of sad.
All right, so backstage, backstage we see Pat Patterson, Ted DiBiase, Tony Atlas, and Hillbilly Jim watching the next match and talking about basically if the underdog can win a sex match, and the underdog was Benny Kramer, a local guy, and he actually cut a promo, which was interesting. This is the second week in a row they had the jobber cut a promo. And Tony Atlas, and you wonder why this guy's broke. He put his money on the jobber, he said before the match.
Oh, God. What was that? Sounds like the Legends version of like the ASOBs or something. It's such an unusually random group of guys. It's very funny.
Yeah, they were funny talking about the match and everything. So anyway, so Kramer, of course, was taking on Ryback, who skipped Sheffield. And now this is the type of squash I think Lord Tensai should be doing, because he just demolished him. And the clothesline he hit him with was fantastic. That's another match you need to go back and watch from SmackDown, just to see that clothesline. And then he hit his little spinning slam for the squash win. So another good win for Skip Sheffield, the Ryback, and he is a face, based on the promo cut before the match.
Oh, that's good. All right, well, there's another baby face then.
Yeah, he's someone that could be quickly be elevated as well.
Sure. He's earned it. He's got some cred. Absolutely.
All right, backstage, Tyson Kidd and Heath Slater were talking, and Heath says, stop, Justin Gabriel's hurt. You should be teaming with me instead. And they have a match with the Usos, and he said he found them a Hall of Fame manager for tonight. Of course, it's Jimmy Hart. And he says that they're going to be a winning combination as they walk out. So Mick Foley was on commentary for this next match. He didn't really do too much of note on commentary. But during the match, Hart kept taunting him with the megaphone, yelling in his face. Foley got up, put Sacco on Jimmy Hart, and the Usos got the win in the ring. So,
by the way, Jimmy Hart was their second choice. They originally were going to get Captain Lou from the dead, but Captain Lou wouldn't do it because it wasn't a title match.
Right, yeah, there's no point. They weren't going to win the belts.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so now came the highlight of the night, Piper's Pit with Daniel Bryan and AJ. Piper is just so good. I mean, he had that little lull in the early part of the decade during that whole, Hogan stuff and Vince stuff, where he wasn't at his best. And then
they all sucked. The whole thing was bad.
And even the stuff with Flair, like in 2006, he was okay.
Right.
But now he's really been hit. I think he's really hit a stride, starting with that late 08 promo where he challenged Vince to a match at WrestleMania.
Yep.
And since then you have the whole thing with Cena and Wade Barrett, and a couple other times he's gotten involved in storylines. He's just been really, really good. And here was no difference. He really help put the storyline over, trying to get AJ to basically tell Brian to go fuck off, and really try to put AJ over strong. And, the crowd's getting all over Brian, chanting 18 seconds. And, Piper talks about how Sheamus is going to kick Brian's head off at Extreme Rules. And AJ basically, like a true battered wife, takes the abuse and stays around, basically says she's not leaving Daniel Bryan. She's sorry. She apologizes. And Bryan says, if you love me, you'll leave the ring. And she does. Also, early in the promo, they announced that Bryan and Sheamus would take part in a 2 out of 3 falls match at Extreme Rules. So that'll be interesting. Bryan said he wants to both pin Sheamus and make him tap. So that's why they're doing it. So interesting there. Piper gets in Bryan's face saying, tell Lady to shut up. You don't use her as a shield. He calls Bryan a coward. And Bryan says the fact that he's better than Sheamus, he'll slap everyone across the face, just like he's going to slap Piper, and he does. Smacks him across the face and runs up yelling, yes. Now, one thing I've noticed over the last couple of shows, and maybe it was just because it was a Miami thing at the time, but have you noticed that the yes chants have kind of tapered off?
Slightly, but I have a story. Do I have a story in the list about the yes? I don't know if I do or not. I did not put it there. But there's a story, apparently, that T-shirt is on the T-shirt is getting, the new one is getting so over that it's on back order now on WWE.com.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me at all. Yeah.
So apparently the chants are not, they're not terrible, but, credit to Piper for really making it a heel, and then the chants stopped. So
let me ask you this. I know you're a big Sheamus fan. Do you think
it's not as loud, but it's still kind of there. Yes.
What?
Huh?
Oh, I said, well, let me ask you this. You're a big.
Oh, no, you got cut. Oh, you got cut off. That's okay. Why I didn't hear you.
All right, you're a big Sheamus fan, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you think, though, they should end this title experiment right now and put it back on Brian?
I'm going to give you a maybe. I'll do half and half. I wouldn't do it now.
The reason you would do it now, well, I'm not saying right now. I mean at Extreme Rules. Because 2 out of 3, you could have Brian really get reestablished and play off WrestleMania as a fluke. Now, it could hurt Sheamus, but I think what's hurting Sheamus more right now is that the fans are kind of revolting against him a little bit because of what happened. And I think the way they did things backfired, and instead of making him look like a monster face, the fans are resenting him for what he did. So I'm wondering if they're better off just, you know, taking the mulligan, putting it back on Brian, and then waiting on the Sheamus push for now.
Putting over Laurinaitis as a you know, a worm?
Yeah, however you want to do it.
All right, we'll do that then. Okay, well, if you do Extreme Rules, you do 2 out of 3 falls, and I got a great idea. I've got a great idea, okay?
Don't even say that the belt changes hands by DQ or something. Is that what you're gonna say?
Okay, continue then.
Well, that doesn't help. That doesn't help Brian at all.
Kind of.
The whole point of putting the title back on Brian is to legitimize him by having him get that win back on Sheamus.
Yeah, but I think you legitimize it anyway. But you also want to put you gotta have multiple goals here. Number one, making Daniel Bryan legitimate will work when you have Sheamus have him tap, have the one pin be a tap. Don't pin him. Have it be a tap. Have him tap out to the lapel lock. It's okay. Sheamus pins with a brogue kick. And then another heel or Brian shoves Sheamus into Funky. Funky DQs him. Gives the belt to Brian. And then fire Sheamus. Take Sheamus off camera for like a month or so. Month or two.
I don't know. I think.
And get Sheamus's face pops back, because you have to go for two goals here. You're not only trying to legitimize Daniel Bryan, but you got to get Sheamus back to being, you know, kind of getting the cheers back. So you could quickly
transition him to that feud with Christian. I mean, there's stuff you could do. You know, I'd be more apt to say have Christian screw Sheamus, and then you transition him into a feud. I just want to see Brian win semi-legitimately. I really don't want it to be on the DQ, because I think that defeats the purpose.
Oh, okay. Well,
I think this is their chance at a mulligan, though. I really do, because they can still play off Mania as a fluke. And I think Brian's over enough. I think this whole stuff with AJ is really good. And I think they could really help themselves if they just put the title back on him. Because I really, really think that the Sheamus thing is just not going to work right now because of who he beat. I really think this is a backlash against him. You know, it's almost like when a baseball or football team brings in a star to replace a beloved star that left for other reasons. You know, it's like no matter how good he is, the fans are just not going to, you know, buy into him or take to him because of who he replaced. So I just think Brian is so beloved right now by a majority of the fan base that Sheamus is just going to be residually beaten on because of it.
Well, we'll see how that we'll see how it plays out. I wouldn't get mad if Sheamus lost. I mean, you know, his boy there, his mentor, same thing happened to him.
Right.
Exactly 10 years ago, they pulled a mulligan. Triple H won the title at WrestleMania 18, and then they had to carry on the Hogan nostalgia, and it took 1 month, and Hogan and Triple H lost.
I mean, I am a little afraid that it could really hurt Sheamus, though, you know, doing that quick and make him look like a choker of some sort. But I think they have more in Bryan right now than they do in Sheamus. I think they need to take advantage of it.
Well, we'll see if they agree with you. I'm not disagreeing with you. All I'm saying is they need to. I think the whole DQ thing is not as dumb as you're making it out to be.
I don't think it's dumb. I just think it's not. I think it's fine when used in certain situations. I think this is just one where, you know, if Brian had already gotten a sneaky win at Mania and then he got another sneaky win here, I'd be fine with it. But the way he got squashed at Mania, I think he needs to win legitimately to make himself again look, you know, strong.
Well, I think I agree with you, but I'm adding on to that as well that you need to cover all your bases, and you don't want you need. It's going to be tough. It's going to be very tough. It's going to take a lot of creative moxie to get Daniel Bryan's legitimacy back without making Sheamus look like a chump.
All right, I'm going to throw
two
things.
I'm glad I don't have that job.
I'm going to throw two things out there.
All right.
One, and this may be controversial, I think there's more money in Daniel Bryan long term than there is in Sheamus.
I don't totally agree, but okay.
Two, I think Sheamus is easier to rebuild than Brian is. I think Brian, they captured lightning in a bottle. They tapped into this character that got so over, and they didn't know what to do with it. And he has such a good storyline going on right now that it's going to be harder to ever get him back to this point. Sheamus is the type of guy that can be easily rebuilt with another 6 months of squashing guys and getting into a hot feud. And the reason I think they can make more money off Brian is because he appeals to a bigger audience of wrestling fans that'll spend money. You know, if you have him run on top as one of your top guys for a while, I do think you're more apt to sell these t-shirts, sell these DVDs. Whereas Sheamus, I think Sheamus is a good speaker and a good face for the company, but I almost picture him as being like, you know, Jake Roberts circa 89, Razor Ramon. Obviously, these guys I'm talking about that are backstage.
Oh, my God.
No, but you know what I'm saying? Like, those kind of yeah. characters that don't necessarily need a title. They can just be a bulletproof upper card face, you know?
Mm.
I don't know. Those are just my two opinions, but let's move on because
okay.
I'm running behind. But we don't obviously don't have to put much thought to this match. Great Khali and Natalya and Alicia Fox beat the Bellas and Drew McIntyre. Of course, the Bellas are on their way out anyway, so that didn't really matter. Mm-hmm. We have a Damian Sandow vignette, and of course, that is Aaron Stevens, or Idol Stevens, as he was on SmackDown about 6 years ago. Talks about sophistication, and he assaults people for using social media, but says he will be the beacon of light that we all need. And I wanted to give a little live report about Damian Sandow. This is from our buddy Flip Flop and Fly, Clayton, on the
Blog of Doom.
He said it's pretty shocking. He said to see him look like that. He said, I can't wait to see him make TV. Crowd hated him within a minute of his appearance last night in a good way. He knows how to walk that line of, hey, this guy's a sissy, before going full-blown, hey, guys, I'm a homosexual. When he took off the robe to reveal his pink tights, he had this great what look on his face. And this will be a hit on the house shows, if nothing else. He said he pulled out a cartwheel, and his finish was a cross-faced chicken wing. And had a lot of Gorgeous George-like mannerisms, but it was very subtle. So could be interesting if they do it right. I'm really looking forward to it.
Hmm. Yeah, extra. You know, it seems like they're going in that path now. The post WrestleMania, adding faces to the roster and kind of getting things pumped up. And it's kind of a good little thing. Maybe it's almost like '96, where you created a gold dustish character right. without overly going too bonkers with it. And I like the Flip Flop and Fly talked about the house show circuit, because that's what you're going to fill these house shows with when half these guys aren't going to be doing it.
Right. Exactly.
So.
And you know, I always kind of had a little affinity for Aaron Stevens because, of course, the Cystic Fibrosis show from Assumption College that myself and our friend Adam commentated for. He was yes. one of the guys. We saw him when he was just starting out. So,
he's
one of those guys I was kind of pulled for.
Mm,
yeah. Okay.
Yes, I agree.
Backstage, we found out Cowboy Bob has some abdominal injuries, and then we get more with Sheamus and Mean Gene. Sheamus is basically telling Mean Gene not to worry, that everything is going to be all right, fella. And then it was time for your boy. Hacksaw Jim Duggan took on Hunico. Hunico ran down Duggan, said he's the future of WWE. Camacho interfered, but Sergeant Slaughter came out to even things up, and they just beat down Hunico and Camacho. So nothing much going on there, just a little nostalgia pop for.
Why don't you missed a part. No. Let me do this. Slaughter comes down, and by the way, you know, instead of having a nice clean tag match, no, Slaughter hands him the 2x4. And smack him in
the... I will not be quieted.
I will not be quieted by your propaganda. Cheated again, even at 900 years old, you flabby snot bastard. You're still cheating. Where are you, gorilla? God rest your soul. Go ahead, Mr. President. Go ahead. Tell him it's no big deal. It's the greatest thing on the planet. Yeah. Even now, not putting over the young guys and cheating to win. Figures. Of course... The Silverback thought that was the greatest thing on the planet. I proceeded to punch him. So,
right. Speaking of sloppy, flabby guys.
Sloppy, ugly people.
Yes, our next legend to make his appearance was the American Jim Dusty Rhodes came out to talk to his son, Cody. Cody was out there talking about focusing on the future and how he wants to be the Access champion again. But the music hits and out I came. I said, Cody, you're talented, but stop poking the Big Show, baby doll. Cody cut me off. He said, he's embarrassing the Big Show, and he's being embarrassed. And they'll talk about this in the back. Not time to talk about it here, because he said, Daddy, you're embarrassing me. You're embarrassing Jason and Bobby and myself as well. And Big Show then came out, played a video on the screen, if you will, of Dash and Cody Rhodes applying lip gloss in one of his old vignettes. Of course, that's an idea that I gave him back in the day, trying to be like Johnny B. Bad. Everyone's going to say, I wish I was born a little girl putting lip gloss on, baby. It's going to draw millions of dollars around the world. Show said that, now that's embarrassing, baby, and he left, and the crowd chanted for me and not my stupid son, Cody, and we left. We left to go home. So, next up was the main event. Of course, that was Daniel Bryan and Alberto Del
Rio. You missed the part where he was singing Britney Spears and shoved the tray in his eye. You forgot that's right, that one, yes. too.
Was that more impressive than my Safazio monologue from
that was very good. You haven't sounded like that since you last put the overalls on. I'm very impressed.
Okay. Main event, of course, Daniel Bryan and Alberto Del Rio versus Sheamus and Mean Gene, and all the legends got involved here: Piper, DiBiase, Atlas, Duggan, Patterson, Jimmy Hart, Rhodes, Hillbilly, and Slaughter. Piper has words with Bryan. He finally gets a little bit of revenge. Sheamus does the bro kick and pins Bryan. And Mean Gene and Sheamus are the winners. Howard Finkel comes out and announces them the winners, which is tremendous. Cole comes out, rips on the legends, and they kind of smack him around. And Sheamus poses with all the legends, and SmackDown was off the air. So I like the idea. It wasn't as great as I was hoping for. I thought maybe there'd be a little bit more old school flavor to it instead of. It seemed like a promotion for the Legends House, but they didn't really talk about the Legends House. So
that's what it sounded like. I was upset, not upset, but I was hoping for SmackDown to kind of have the old 99, but you couldn't do that because that's more Attitude Era and none of these guys were in it. So I guess it was just a chance to have a bunch of old guys on. It's pretty much what it was. It's not like you could take Raw and.
Well, and like, you know, I said, it really seemed like. And there were rumors that they were going to have an announcement that maybe Legends House was going to be airing on Sci-Fi. So I'm kind of surprised that, you know, they didn't end up saying anything. So kind of weird there. So one person conspicuous by his absence at the end was Mick Foley. And he actually took a jab at Vince McMahon on commentary when he was out for his match. And I saw some people wondering if Vince got PO'd at him and he didn't go back out. He said something like Jimmy Hart's the second most annoying person yelling in your ear on commentary or something like that.
Oh my God! Why can't Mick just shut up? Seriously,
he had a couple digs. There was I forgot who else. He had a dig on someone else too. That was pretty funny. I can't remember who. But
yeah, what? Why, guys? Why?
Yeah. He's just asking for trouble.
I mean, come on. He's so stupid. But anyway, it's just stupid.
So yeah, there's your SmackDown. There's your Raw. Decent week. Not as good as last week's shows. Raw had the two highlights, and SmackDown, really, the Piper Spit. And I really wish they would just bring Piper back on a weekly basis as an interview guy like he used to be a Piper Spit. I really think he could help further so many storylines if he was a weekly guy. He's just so good.
Yeah, I do. I agree. And, you know, we need to see what the future holds for this show because I feel like the roster is much more stable. But considering what you and I are talking about here with Sheamus, they're doing their best to try and make Sheamus the top guy in the show.
Well, that was clear by the end here where they had him showcase all the legends, almost kind of, you know, passing the torch to him a little bit.
Yeah. So, we got a lot to talk about over the next few headline shows because
I'm curious. This is going to be a pretty pivotal pay-per-view. It looked like maybe it was going to be a throwaway early on, but they got a lot riding on this one now. You know, we'll see what happens if they see Daniel Bryan as anything more than just a joke. He's going to be something, you know, treated seriously at the show. And we'll see what the plan is for John Cena by how they treat him against Brock Lesnar. Man, if they had the balls, they should have Lesnar just fucking squash him. They won't do it.
But right.
That would be fucking ballsy. If they really want to put Lesnar over as a mega heel and really have Cena spiral out of control, they could really do that.
Yeah, and just keep the train moving. Just destroy Cena and then just have him leave. Say, maybe I just don't have it anymore. You know? That wouldn't be bad.
So it'll be interesting.
I agree. Yeah. I who knows?
I mean, because they may think they have enough drawing power with Lesnar back and with Punk on top. You know, Cena can finally take those couple months off. That's been rumored for a while. So
he's almost like Brett in the 90s. I mean, he's getting to that point now where he might just need a breather.
I think he does. You know? I think him and Miz are two guys that need breathers. But
yeah. So. All right. Well, there's your Raw and SmackDown recap. For those that missed SmackDown, like yours truly, they obviously will replay it Friday night at 8 o'clock on Sci-Fi. So, but you did a good job though, PIC. Although I don't know if Dusty can even do Dusty like you can do Dusty. I think you do Dusty better than Dusty does Dusty.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're gonna put you over. You can be like my twin brother. Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
with all that said, right now, Scott of Criscolo, we're gonna go ahead and break away for a minute here because we're gonna take care of some business. Let's find out who's paying the bills at the pay window, brother.
Yeah.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Sorry, what are you gonna say?
I thought you were taking my line. You were just going to play. Yeah, of course, Dusty would just take it away. Why not? Do you know? I know you invented Starcade and everything, but all right, we're going to take a break. We are going to take a break. Thanks,
brother. I already sent it to commercial break. What's wrong with you?
Go to the pay window. Oh, by the way, if my father ever called me baby doll, I'd kick him right in the nuts like Brock called. But all right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, news and notes, a lot of stuff to talk about, maybe a little baseball. But first.
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW ROH and ECW announcer Eric Arjulo and the champ Jeff Peck. That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
WrestleChat.net is your home for everything pro wrestling. Ring of Honor, TNA. Ring of Honor, that 10th anniversary show is coming up on DVD. I think it's on DVD soon. TNA, their pay-per-view is sometime. Of course, WWE, the podcast with the Alberto Del Rio and Ricardo Rodriguez of wrestling, of wrestling websites. Of course, the Great Message Board. And while you're perusing the site, go to the right, take a look at the PTB Gnome, worn proudly by Jordan Duncan. Click on it, you'll go right to the 100 and soon-to-be 20 episode catalog that is the Place to Be podcast. WrestleChat.net is where it's at. Funny that you have that music playing in the background, JR.
What is that?
Because I just finished here in the Event Center watching the memorable, and we talked about it on our last episode, our last vault, the memorable August 4th, 1997 Nitro, where Lex Luger won the...
Weren't you already watching this? Didn't we talk about this last week?
Yes, but it was still going on.
Okay.
Remember, this is a three-hour Raw, and you and I didn't do a three-hour podcast.
All right, well, now, if you don't want to lag behind like you are, watching the show over weeks, and you want to find out what happens, say, the next week on Nitro...
Yes.
Where are you going to find out about that?
You go to the always awesome history of WWE.com, run by the purveyor and one of our dearest friends, the great Graham Cawthon. All sorts of results, all sorts of columns, reviews, yours and mine are on there, old school posters, old school ads right out of his bathroom wallpaper, and all sorts of great stuff. He's adding TNA and Ring of Honor. It's been here 10 years. And like I said, I mentioned this last week, you know, it costs him a lot of JR and I very low maintenance to do this wonderful program for you, but for Graham, you know, it costs a lot to keep that site going. It's got a lot of stuff on it, so click on the little donation thing. Give him a couple bucks if you have some spare
cash.
He's
newly married. He's got a new house. He's got a lot going on.
He's got to re-wallpaper his walls because his wife doesn't like all the Spectrum house shows above the toilet, so he needs a new house. He needs new wallpaper. So throw a couple bucks his way. He's definitely very appreciative of it, and maybe he'll let you know later on this week, but.
Yes, because speaking of Grant the Broham, he'll be joining us tomorrow night as we interview the greats. Actually, by the time you listen to this, it'll be tonight on April 12th. Yes. We'll be interviewing the great Gary Michael Capetta, the ring announcer for the WWWF into the Rock and Wrestling era. Transition then over to AWA and eventually over to WCW and then Ring of Honor here in the 2000s. He's seen it all. He's done it all. Gary Michael Capetta, we will be talking to him tomorrow night. That will be posted for your listening pleasure over the weekend. Graham will be helping us run that interview. So if you have any last-minute questions, there is a thread pinned to the top of our Facebook page. You'll get that in. And then once the show is posted, you can listen to us, of course, on Podbean. You can listen to us via iTunes or even on Stitcher.com. On Stitcher Radio, you can download the app for your smartphone. I know my PIC finally upgraded to a 2004 era, and I got himself a smartphone, and you will be able to download Stitcher and listen to it on there. You can listen to it on your iPad.
I already have. In fact, I use Stitcher. I use Stitcher, and on my way to work the last couple of days, I listened to our 96 Royal Rumble podcast. So.
Very well done. So the last 10 are on the iPad and on the iPhone, but the most recent one will be on the website as well if you just want to stream it without downloading it. So, and also now, before we move on to the WrestleChat news and notes, we do have a couple of shout-outs, and I wanted to throw out there. One is to our buddy Ashley Cruz. He's currently in the hospital for awaiting the birth of his second baby boy.
Yes.
So shout-out to Ashley. Yes. Good luck. Hopefully everything goes smoothly with that, and hopefully you have a very peaceful baby. And everything goes well. So, and I also want to talk about our buddy Jay Wimette. I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly. I apologize greatly if I'm not. He's suffering from... something called lymphedema. He has stage 4 lymphedema he was diagnosed with, and he put a post up on the Place to Be podcast live chat page. He has his own Facebook page called Get a Leg Up on Lymphedema. He just trying to raise some awareness, and he's trying to get some inspiration for this battle, so he wants some videos posted where he just destroys a baby face, because that's how he's going into this into this treatment to try and get himself healthy and get himself clear of this disease. So show Jay some support. He's a really cool guy. I know he provides a lot of great wrestling DVDs and other things for many of our listeners and fans. So Jay's a cool guy, and we wish you nothing but the best in your recovery, Jay. Please keep us posted on how things go. And,
yes.
He has a lot of updates on that Facebook page, so check it out and track his recovery. And Jay, anything we can do to help spread this awareness, just let us know. We'll help you out.
Indeed. And I was actually at church tonight for my meeting with my brother Knights, and I actually lit a candle for all the people that are needing prayers. So J.O., you are under that candle as well. Hope everything goes well. All right, let's hop right in to our news and notes segment, brought to you by our good friends at WrestleChat.net. We got a lot tonight. Kind of pared it down. Not a very heavy news week. I don't want to overload with a lot of fluff.
Not a LaRue news week.
not a big puffy news week. Not a swollen news week. No, we got some good stuff though.
Oh,
number
LaRue.
One, the zoo. We haven't been in the zoo in a while, have we? I didn't really need it to. All right, number one, ready for this? Tell me if this would be awesome. Okay, I want you to close your eyes, PIC. Go back to your old days at the Warwick Musical Theater. Mm-hmm. I'm about to read this. Okay, WWE is currently doing a promotion in the UK, where fans attending the TV tapings, because they, of course, will be overseas next week, will be able to pay to have their photo inserted onto a WWE DVD cover. Imagine you and Doink together.
Yes. Me and Adam Bomb working yes. with the Special Olympians.
You and Damian Demento. That's kind of neat, huh? Little things like that. It doesn't hurt.
No, it's kind of cool. I just want to hit a really couple of quick news that I'm guessing you didn't get because they were just posted before you move on through yours.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Brock Lesnar not scheduled to wrestle before Extreme Rules.
Oh, that's not a shock.
Alberto Del Rio, Ricardo Rodriguez are now being booked for all upcoming SmackDown live events, so it looks like he may be switching over to Friday nights. Speaking of Friday nights, the live SmackDown last night got a 1.5, which is down from Friday's 1.9. Can't totally blame them for that. It wasn't really tremendously hyped, I didn't think, and people just have things going on different nights. They don't really, you know, not a lot of people. I mean, they still got 1.5 out of the 1.9, which is pretty solid. But they've really settled in on Fridays and do fairly well for that
right.
time slot. So, and a big part of them bringing Lesnar back is they're hoping that he'll help them in recruiting more amateur wrestlers. And they'll see the, you know, success he has had. And hopefully they'll follow his way. And they're also discussing having a live SmackDown the Tuesday after Mania next year, trying to bring that momentum from Mania over into higher ratings for Raw and into SmackDown, which I think is pretty smart.
Yeah. No, it is. It is very smart. Speaking of guys who, you know, here's a guy that we were talking about faces and heels. Here's a guy who they could probably use now. The latest issue of Power Slam reports that John Hennigan, a.k.a., of course, former Shaman of Sexy John Morrison, has hinted to friends that he will return to WWE later this year. Former WWE superstar stated during an interview with Poughkeepsie Journal last month that the door is open for him to return to the organization. Quote, I left on really good terms with everybody, and what I wanted to do was take time off to heal, get refreshed, and take a little vacation. Shows like this are a fun show and a way to keep sharp. I really like wrestling. That's why I do it. He said of his match against Finley for Northeast Wrestling, quote, I was working a 250-plus day-a-year schedule, and I wanted to be refreshed. Right before I left, I felt like I was going to work. I wasn't enjoying it as much as when I started. I'm excited to come to Poughkeepsie and do all this stuff. That's the kind of attitude you need to have in sports entertainment. Could really use him now.
Yeah, he'll be back someday, I'm sure. Homegrown guy.
Yeah,
and he can help himself by not going to TNA.
Yeah, don't bother. Don't bother. It's a waste of time
right
anyway. Yeah. Next up, the first of many couple stories we'll have today involving wrestlers who get in trouble with the law. Miss USA and Tough Enough contestant Rima Faki. How does she pronounce her name?
I think.
Rima Faki reached a plea deal with Michigan prosecutors on her DUI case Wednesday morning, this morning, hours before she was due to stand trial for her arrest back in December in Detroit. TMZ reports Faki pled no contest to misdemeanor driving while visibly impaired, and prosecutors agreed to drop the more serious charge of operating while intoxicated. Sentencing is scheduled for May. She faces up to, looks like, about 3 months in jail. Authorities say Faki was disoriented and was slurring her speech after she was pulled over for speeding and weaving through traffic in December. Her blood alcohol level was more than twice the legal limit, and she had a half-empty bottle of wine on the floorboard behind the driver's seat. Not smooth. Faki was on hand for numerous WrestleMania events in Miami a couple weeks ago, prompting speculation she had signed a contract. She later confirmed to German celebrity gossip website Promaflash.de that she has plans to wrestle for WWE. So, I liked her on Tough Enough.
Yeah, and she was kind of a pain in the ass, but she cared, you know?
She was a good, but she was a pain in the ass. She wasn't like that other, what's her name, that thought the Alyssa Fox match was great.
Oh, yeah. So, no, she was not that dumb. But I mean, you know, that was a whole big controversy. A lot of fans thought that they were leaving her on, just keeping her around basically for her name.
Right, exactly. But, well, she's got better clean this up first.
Okay. The contestants get schooled on the basketball court by the most unlikely opponents.
Unlikely? Midgets ain't unlikely to nobody but me.
I think one day, I think for my birthday, I think I'm going to ask you to cut a promo between Stone Cold and Dusty playing basketball with midgets. Man, look at these little guys running around. Yeah. I wonder if Dusty owned midgets. I don't know. Anyway. CM Punk responded to a report published here Monday stating that WWE officials are concerned with him being too small to adequately face Brock Lesnar in a potential matchup, as well as his battered appearance backstage. He wrote, quote, "Dirt sheets can call me small, skinny, beat up, road tired, fat, ugly, no friends, etc. Everyone else calls me champ. Everyone." Dwayne The Rock Johnson saw his message and showed his support for the WWE champion. "Amen," Johnson wrote to Punk. "The credit will always belong to the man who was actually in the arena. Hashtag keep doing it strong, champ." So it was a good little plug. But you and I had a little discussion about this today, about this story.
That's all we got. One goddamn hit.
Speaking of LaRue.
Yeah. You and I had a conversation about this today, about, you know, where is this coming from? Where is the, you know, are officials really saying these things, you know? Or is this just something to kind of, you know, get people?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. You know, Punk is just that guy along with Daniel Bryan. Actually, I don't know if you read the article on Grantland that the masked man David Schumacher wrote about Daniel Bryan's WWE run. And he sums it up pretty well, saying how he's just one of those guys that fans always have their guards up. You know, it's like just keep waiting for him to lose, waiting for him to be buried. It's almost like being a fan of a team that never wins. You just keep waiting for the shoe to drop. Mm. You're like, oh, yeah, he's winning now, but he's going to lose next week. You can't enjoy it because you're just waiting for them to screw him. And it seems like that's still going on with Punk. It's like, look at how this guy's been booked, even since 2007. He's never really been lower than upper mid-card. He's had a lot of titles. And for the last year, you know, since, well, almost a year now, he's been heavily involved in the main event picture. He's got a lot of big matches, a lot of big wins, a long title reign. He's been very heavily protected. For a guy that has his background and mouths off the way he does and acts the way he does, you know, that's saying something that they still are behind him.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's going to be small against a lot of people, you know, that, but look back at 1992, late 92, early 93, you know, during at the end of the Federation era, we're talking about guys like Shawn and Razor and Brett and, you know, guys who weren't big, you know? So, you know, it's just the way it's got to be. But, right. You know, you want to talk about a David versus Goliath matchup there. I think Punk's lack of size in that feud will work to his advantage.
Yeah, I don't think it's a problem. And I don't think they see that as a problem. They're obviously behind him. He gets a lot of TV time. He gets a lot of slots. And I know our buddy Matt Davis is kind of like, oh, why are they putting him at 10 o'clock? 10 o'clock is the anchor time on Raw.
Yeah.
You know, Cena and Lesnar, those are the name guys that they push right now. But 10 o'clock is a very important spot. Dating back to when they first went to 2 hours, something big always went down at 10 o'clock. You know, Austin was always on a lot at 10 o'clock. Rock was on a lot. Triple H, Vince McMahon. You know, that was a big time. And if it wasn't a big promo, it was always a big anchor match. Remember 2004, we'd always get that hot match crossing the 10 o'clock border. You know,
well, don't forget during the
Edge and the Evolution.
Right. Well, don't forget during the Attitude Era, the show was the block was technically two different shows.
Right.
So the 10 o'clock was, remember, 9 to 10, technically, obviously we all knew it was one show, but technically 9 to 10 was Raw and 10 to 11 was Warzone. That's technically how it even was in the TV guide. So 10 o'clock had to be something spiked because it was a fresh hour of ratings.
Right, you're trying to bring in new viewers. So, I mean, 10 o'clock is a very important hour. So, I mean, if they had Punk on regularly in the death spot of like 10:20 or 9:40 or something like that, then you start to wonder. But he's put in a good spot on TV and on pay-per-view. So, you know, he was a semi-main at Mania this year, you know, behind arguably one of the biggest matches of all time. So, whatever. I'm done with that argument.
Yeah, I am too. As noted earlier, and we talked about this last week too, WWE writer Ed Koski was catching the Dean Ambrose and Mick Foley confrontation in Miami during WrestleMania weekend as it happened. and Dave Scherer and our guys at PW Insider report that Koski is heavily involved in the storyline between Foley and Ambrose that has been continuing online. And as we've noted, they are building to the eventual main roster debut of Dean Ambrose. So, and he's getting physicals too. He's getting some medical clearances. So,
good. Yeah, that could be a good way to use Foley to put him over out of the gate.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. And Mick, you know, definitely a guy that'll. It's one thing Mick is good at. He's also good at being a pain in the ass, but he is good at getting guys over. So. All right, this is the story I was telling you about earlier. MMAHeat.com producer Karen Bryant is in Sweden for the UFC event there this weekend. She interviewed MMA veteran Tito Ortiz earlier and said that during the interview, Ortiz hinted at a career with WWE once his UFC contract is up. Now, he does have some experience in a wrestling atmosphere. He special refereed a couple of matches in TNA.
Yep.
So he does know what's going on.
I don't know. Does he have, I mean... Look, I'm not the biggest MMA guy. I have a pretty basic knowledge of everything. Is his name value still enough to make it worth it? Are they going to bring him as a special name, or is he going to come in to be a full-time guy? Like, what was he looking to do? I guess I need to know more about it before I really thought on it.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. I mean, you don't want to have another who was that dope that won the last real tough
Pewter?
The last tough one. Yeah, you don't want another Pewter who doesn't know what the hell's going on and ends up being a complete moron. So, all right, back to Foley. Mick Foley wrote on Twitter that he asked WWE officials if he and Jim Ross could call the Hell in a Cell match between Taker and Triple H at WrestleMania. He wrote, quote, "Wish I'd been a small part of Hell in a Cell. I asked WWE early on about me and JR doing commentary. I wish they liked half of the idea." I guess they liked half of the idea. Foley also says he feels he has one more big bump left in him and knows which WWE superstar he wants to do that last bump with. He wrote, "I believe I do have one more big bump left in me. Delivered on my terms with a WWE superstar who respects what I've done. My final bump came to me as a vision. I know exactly what I want to do, where I want to do it, and who I want to do it with."
Dolph. Do it with Dolph.
I like how he's talking about his bump like it's Dusty's. Like it's a separate person.
Look at my bump.
My bump.
You know, I think Mick is eventually going to find his way to the commentary booth again. I know he had a lot of issues last time he was there in 2008. But I think he really wants back at it. He's kind of, you know, changed his tune, hasn't been as vocal about it outside of his little barb this past week. So I'm not sure where he fits in. You know, Lawler's kind of the logjam right now. There's a lot of guys that could squeeze in if he would go away. Regal's another one, too, has been really good on NXT. So we'll see. I'm not really sure where he fits in, but I think he'd be well utilized back in the booth.
Yeah, we're not really sure where he'd fit, but we have a feeling. All right. As noted before, people backstage at WrestleMania were talking about how good The Undertaker looked in the ring, and the belief is that he will at least work WrestleMania 29. Word is also now that he will likely work several more WrestleMania events from here on out. I don't know what several would be. Well, you and I always talk about what the one last real
opponent. You're going to have him and Cena. Now, you would say, like, oh, they should save Cena for his last one, but you don't know when his last one's going to be, so... they should just do Cena now, and then you go from there.
Right. And then if any more come up, then, you know, more come up. They're a little stat tidbit. I always like to do at least one story involving stats because you and I are marks for that kind of thing. Tim, one of the readers of WrestleChat.net, sent word that WWE Hall of Famer Mean Gene Okerlund's official record as a professional wrestler is 3-0. actually, he's actually 4-0. This Tim forgot a match. He's now 4-0. Obviously, the first match, the one everyone remembers, was when he and Hulk Hogan teamed to defeat Mr. Fuji and George Animal Steel back in 1984. But he had two matches in WCW. I don't know if you... Did you already open the story?
No, I didn't. I know there's one with Mark Madden involved.
Yes, he beat Mark Madden in a WCW street fight. The other one was a tag match. Do you remember the, can you remember what that street fight was? It's a WCW street fight, which means it was a big, fat, sloppy mess.
Did they have a year?
No, but it was probably 2000.
I don't know, I need a hint.
Okay, all right. He was on one team and Madden was on the other.
Oh, so he had two matches involving Madden.
Yeah, two matches involving Madden. One was a street fight singles match. Mm-hmm. The other one was a tag match. It was him and somebody against Madden and somebody.
don't know, I need a hint on the other guys.
One guy was in WWF for a very, very quick cup of coffee, and the other guy's dead.
Oh, that narrows it down. Dr. Death?
No.
Douglas?
No. Nope.
When was this guy in WWF? Before or after that run?
After. He was the guy that was on his team was supposed to be part of the invasion, but he bombed.
Buff?
Yes. He teamed with Buff against Madden and another guy who wrestled in WCW under a mask for a short period of time.
I was going to say The Wall, but I don't think he was ever under a mask.
No, it's not The Wall. He wrestled in WCW.
Oh, Canyon?
Canyon, yes. It was him and Buff against Canyon and Madden. And that put him at 3-0, and then the win, of course, the other night. So Mean Gene's career record is even better than Michael Cole's. 4-0. So there you go. Okay. But since you and I are marks for wrestling stats, I thought I'd throw that in there for you. Okay. We go from the happy to another poor case here. TMZ reports that former WWE superstar Maven Huffman has agreed to enter rehab for his prescription drug problem, and WWE will be paying for that treatment. Maven's lawyer told
TMZ. I don't know the number of guys that they've paid for. It's going to be ridiculous.
Well, it's got to be ridiculous. Think of the guys that have gotten more than one.
Yeah.
Not just the, and I'm not just talking about the guy that we're going to talk about last, but it's been a few. Let's see. X-Pac. How many times has he been in? Like four? Probably three or four. Regal got paid for.
Oh, yeah. There's a ton of guys.
Yeah, there's a ton of guys. Anyway, Maven's lawyer told TMZ, quote, "Yes, Maven is planning on working with the WWE and was easily impressed by their gesture to assist him. It is Maven's sincere hope to use his experience to aid in the prevention of substance abuse and serve as an example to his fellow wrestlers and community at large. Maven would also like his supporters to know that he is humbled by the outpouring of support he has received over the past week, and he sincerely apologizes to any of his family members, friends, and fans who have had to read the press surrounding recent events." Unquote. Maven's lawyer added that the wrestler is not admitting criminal wrongdoing, but intends to cooperate with local law enforcement agencies to reach a timely resolution to the matter.
Maven's lawyer claims that he's still the rightful holder of the hardcore title.
Exactly. And he did throw Taker over the top rope of the 2002 Rumble. Of course, if you missed the story, because we talked about this story last week, yeah. What happened was Maven was what? No. Maven was apparently doctor dipping, I guess. He was going to different doctors just so he can get prescription meds, which is against the law in Florida. So.
Florida. Huh?
Our next story.
Shocker.
Florida. I wonder if they use the pharmacy in Tampa. Next story involving one of your old favorites, my friend. Medusa, who formerly appeared as the apple of my PIC's eye, Alundra Blaze.
Seema Monster.
For WWF. Hey, he got better pops than that. Posted a photo on Facebook last week of a royalty check she recently received from her former employer. Her image post, which has since been deleted, suggested that she received $305,563.46 for appearing on video releases sold between October 1st and December 31st of last year. That's a lot of money for such a small period of time. She clarified the matter on Twitter over the weekend by revealing that it was indeed WWE revenue from video sales. When asked whether the royalty check was legitimate, she stated, quote, "Yes, however, that was WWE's take of the shit I was in." So it was their take, not her take.
Okay, that makes sense.
So, how much stuff was she in during those 3 months, though?
I'm sure it's all attributed to her. Well, didn't the Nitro DVD come out at that point?
At the end of last year? No, it was already out.
Yeah, but maybe it's a lag in royalty?
Yeah, maybe. She might have been a bunch of other stuff, too. Okay. All right. As we noted before, TNA requested that WWE send them a superstar to appear on one of their DVDs in exchange for allowing Ric Flair to appear at the 2012 Hall of Fame ceremony. We don't know exactly who that WWE superstar is yet, but talk is that it's someone that has history with Sting, Hogan, and Flair.
Hmm. That's interesting. Sting, Hogan,
and Flair.
Well, it had to be someone who was in WCW if they have
Sting on there. Exactly. That's the one that's throwing me off. Hogan and Flair is easy. It's a crap load. But Sting.
Huh. Who's active that had relationship with Sting?
I don't know. Vampiro? No.
I was thinking maybe Steamboat or Arn or something.
I wonder if they said active, though. You could throw.
I'm going to pull up the roster really quick. This is a pretty good little trivia. I'm curious if we can guess it.
Yeah, I'm, I don't know. I don't know. I'll have to think about that. All right, well, will you pull up the roster? We'll go to the, we'll go to the next
Big Show. Maybe. Would they really loan him out, though?
Yeah, I guess. Why not?
I don't look at all the superstars besides champions.
Okay, one quick note before we go to our last story. WWEcareers.com. Ready for this? This is like kind of right up your alley, I think. WWEcareers.com has a new job listing for a new editor-in-chief of WWE.com.
Isn't that Joey's not doing that?
I thought that was Joey's job, right?
Maybe that's what I thought. Else. Maybe he's going on the job.
So, anyway.
Lawler? No, he never really had anything going on with Sting.
No.
The only active guys I can really see are...
JR? No, he's not really with the company.
No. Show? Oh, there was someone else I just thought of, and I lost it. Hang on. Let me finish going through all these. Ray? Yeah. Probably not Ray. Regal? Booker?
That's not a bad guess. Although, do you think Booker would go over there? He fucking hates all those people.
I don't know. There's not many others. Goldust?
Yeah, I know.
That's kind of it, really.
Yeah, I don't know.
Jericho? I don't know. Be interesting. Nah, it should just be like Arn or something.
Yeah, most likely. All right, now for the last story, which is everyone's wondering why I haven't gotten to it because I wanted to kind of save it for last, but it is truly the most depressing one. We all know what I'm about to. Yep, that is an unfortunate thing. Scott Hall was arrested last Friday in Florida following a domestic
shocker.
Yeah, with his girlfriend, reports TMZ. According to an arrest report obtained by the website, Hall allegedly choked out his girlfriend in a drunken fit of rage. Hall's girlfriend, Lisa Howell, says he had been drinking, quote, for days.
Maybe he watched Daniel Bryan and learned it from him.
And used the red tie like on Justin Roberts. When they got into an argument Friday evening, Howell says she got into her car to drive away from the residence, and in a blind rage, Hall grabbed her by the throat and tried to pull her out of the driver's seat. When confronted by police, Hall appeared heavily intoxicated with an unknown white secretion flowing from both sides of his mouth. So like what the Ultimate Warrior was spitting out when he was attacked by Papa Shango. He denied getting violent. Police observed several signs of...
OMA, police.
Yeah. What, did he throw the friggin' burrito?
Bad guy did not get violent.
Including red marks around her neck. So Hall was placed under arrest for domestic battery. His arrest required two sets of handcuffs due to his large stature. Hall could not be immediately booked in jail because he was too intoxicated. Imagine being so drunk you can't go to jail.
I'm sure that happens often.
Yeah. He was taken to a nearby hospital to receive medical clearance before he was booked in Seminole County's John E. Polk Correctional Facility. Howell refused to press charges against Hall. TMZ says it's unclear if the case will move forward in court.
Another sad chapter in this guy's story. I don't know how he's even alive. Him and Jake Roberts are the running for a shock. Really. Biggest their shocking.
Their livers look like bacon by now. It's embarrassing.
I don't get it. I mean, whatever. Every time you hear that this guy's cleaned up and fixed up and more of this stuff just happens, and now he's not just hurting himself, he's hurting others. You know, that E60 piece from last year is one of the saddest things ever. Watching him stumble out, still doing the Razor Ramon walk and everything. And it's just, I don't know. It's just sad. His mugshot was even more sad than everything else.
Yeah, it really did. It really did. So, all right. So there you go. Poor Scott Hall. I don't know what more we can do. I wish his son luck. His son's trying to move forward with his career.
I wonder what Safazio DeFazio's father has to say about this asshole.
Yeah, really. Yeah, is he an asshole too? He's going to get he's going to get some sour cream and onion chips for that one. So, all right. So there's your news and notes segment brought to you by our good friends at WrestleChat.net.
Because. All right. What do you think? 5 minutes on baseball, then we'll wrap up?
Very quick. Let's do our division winners. Maybe we'll do World Series. We won't go too crazy. All right, baseball's about a week old. Hope all your teams, whoever you root for, are doing well.
I'm just going to take all the teams in first place right now.
I'd love that because one of them's mine. So
that obviously proves that I am jesting.
Okay. Here's my picks. Right. Now, remember, we got two wild cards.
Okay. Well, let's go each by each.
Okay. We'll do your division last.
All right.
All right, NL West. I'm going with an upset special. I'm taking the Dodgers.
All right, I am taking Arizona.
Okay. No wild cards in that division for me. Central, I'm going to have to go with the defending world champion Cardinals. They're playing – I think they got the most complete team. It's not a strong division. I think they're going to win the division easily.
Yeah, I agree. I'm sick of St. Louis.
Okay. In the East, I like – you know, I'm changing my pick from last week. When we were going to do the picks last week, I thought the Marlins were going to win the East. But they're just a disaster of all proportions.
Yeah, they're looking shaky. I don't know if they had enough firepower just yet.
And their manager's a dope. He should be fired. And I want to mention one other story, a sports story after this too. So I'm going to take the Nationals to win the division. I like the way they look these past few games against the Mets. They got a good bullpen.
Oh yeah, that says a lot.
I love Strasburg. The guy's a stud. He's going to have a good year. Bullpen's a little iffy, but I think they'll survive it. And the lineup is going to be good enough to score some runs.
I don't know. I think they're just a little short still to win the division. You know, Strasburg's on an innings limit, so he might not even be around by September. So, I don't know. I still feel like maybe they're a bat short. Now, that doesn't mean they can't go out and get one. I'm not a huge believer in Philly. I don't think they have a great offense. I'm going to pick them to win the division in the back of their pitching. And I'm going to say Washington gets one of the wild card spots. And the other I'm going to give to Cincy, although I could see Milwaukee also sneaking in there. Okay. So I'm going to say Washington and Cincy are the wild cards. St. Louis, Arizona, Philly division.
Okay. I like Washington, St. Louis, and the Dodgers as the division winners. And the wild cards are both going to come from the East. I think the Phillies will get one wild card. And I think the Marlins will get the other.
Okay.
I think the Mets are going to fall just short. But they're going to have a much better year than anybody.
Oh, I think they're going to be okay. I mean, I don't know if they're going to fall just short. But I think they have a chance to finish just around 500, which would be huge for them.
Well, it'd be huge for them. You just look at the lineup, and it's just all youth. It's just all young guys. And yes, they've gone off to, you know, a pretty good start. Bullpen finally looked a little mortal today. Some of these no names they got in there, but I mean, you're looking at a lineup of all 20-something kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, in 2-3 years, this team could really be good. But guys aren't hitting. I mean, Ike Davis has one hit in the first six games, but he still might be suffering from that weird disorder or this weird fever thing he's got. So anyway, all right. So there's a National League picks. All right, American League. The West. I like Texas. I don't think anybody in that division can touch their.
Me too.
Lineup.
I'm not crazy about their pitching. I really want to see if Darvish comes around. I just don't think the Angels have enough bats to surpass them. I have the Angels pegged as a wild card team, but I don't think they have enough hitting to surpass Texas. Their pitching is I think as a playoff, when you look at the playoffs, though, I think the Angels are going to be more dangerous. And I would not want to face them in a one-game playoff, knowing that they could throw any three of those studs out there against you.
Yeah, the problem the Angels have is they've got nobody in the lineup to protect Pujols. Mm-hmm. They could walk. I mean, Pujols could have Bonzi and walk totals this year because there's really nobody in that lineup that can. You know, the days of Vlad and Glaus and those guys are gone.
I'm not sure if there's even a bat available out there for them to go trade for right now.
Yeah, I know. So there you go. So I like the. So I like the Rangers as do you. All right, Central. I don't think anybody's going to touch Detroit. Their lineup is awesome. Their pitching is awesome.
Mm-hmm. For them, it's all about staying healthy. And I also think Fat Clown Valverde's due for a regression. We already saw that twice this year so far. So I don't think he's going to be a lockdown, lights-out guy he was last year. I think he's due to come down to earth a little bit. And judging by his size, I think he'll fall quite fast.
And the East, you know, originally...
And just one more thing on the Central. I think Kansas City and Cleveland could make one of those runs where, like, you almost think they could pull it off, but they're going to, you know, by August they'll start to fade. But those are, I think Kansas City's quickly improving, and I think they're going to be pretty good in a couple of years. But Minnesota's in deep shit.
Yeah, they got a lot of problems. Morneau's going to be gone soon, and who even knows if Maurer's going to stay around if they don't pay him. So at least maybe Pollad's sons will be a little bit better than the father.
Oh, they definitely will. They're just in a rough shape right now. They just got to get things going.
All right, and now the East. If you asked me 3 months ago, I'd have picked Tampa. But I really think just based on the pitching, although the pitching hasn't been stellar so far, I think it will settle down. I like the Yankees to win the East.
I think they're easily the best team in the division, regardless of their showing against Tampa this first three games.
Yeah.
And I think Tampa's very good. I think they finish second and get the other wild card. Yeah, Toronto's getting a lot of love, and I think they have a very good team. I just don't think they're there yet. I think they got a lot of young pieces, and they're a little short in pitching. Boston, I think, is in trouble.
Yeah, they're in big trouble.
You know, they're really one kind of comeback away from being 0-6 going home right now. They got a 4-game set with Tampa coming up this weekend. And the, you know, a lot of the media and other fans are already starting to turn on Bobby V. So I think things are going to get ugly before they get better in Boston. Beckett's a mess. You know, Lester's really the best pitcher they have right now. The only one pitching well. DuBrunt pitched all right the other night, but they still have a very good lineup. Although it looks a little shakier if Euculus is as cooked as he looks to be. So we'll see. You know, they're going to rebound. They're going to be in there. I just don't think they'll finish ahead of Tampa and the Yankees. I think they just missed the playoffs again for the third straight year.
Yeah. Wild cards, I definitely think Tampa. And, you know, I want to pick the Angels, but that lineup just does nothing for me.
Yeah, but they're pitching.
Pitching alone is gonna...
Yeah, but they're going to win so many games against Seattle and Oakland that they're going to pile up wins.
Yeah, you know what? I will go with the Angels just based on that rotation. But I won't be surprised their offensive stats are pretty god awful. And my World Series.
Yeah, see, I don't think it's even worth picking the wild card game because one game is such crapshoots. You can't tell until that day. So I can't even sit here and tell you, oh, the Angels will beat the Rays or the Rays will beat the. You don't know.
No. Yeah, no, I wasn't going to do that. I just wanted to say.
No, I know you were. I'm just saying kind of why we're not. Yeah. Because it's just such a crapshoot. You don't know. You know,
no, you don't know. If I had to pick a World Series right now, I'm going to say Tigers, Cardinals,
rematch of 06.
Don't get me started.
Who wins?
Shouldn't have been Tigers, Cardinals. Oh, Detroit. I think the Cardinals are going to play.
You're not worried about Detroit's pitching?
No.
Even if Pfister is out?
No, I think he'll be back, but I think they're just good enough. They're going to win that division anyway.
Okay. Well, they'll win the division.
Yeah. And there's no other team. I mean, depends who they face. I mean, if they end up having to face the Yankees, they might have a problem because Yankee pitching hopefully will level out. You'd like to think it will. If they play Texas, they both have the same kind of problems. Both awesome lineups, both pitching, but the one thing is, you know, Detroit has Justin Verlander and they don't.
Right, and they're saying Detroit may get Victor Martinez back now.
Yeah, I heard that today too. Be good DH. Don't worry about him catching anyway. And St. Louis, I think I got to stop. You know, I always want to think that this team's going to collapse, and then they never do, and they always sneak in, and they always know how to win short series. But losing Edwin Jackson is going to be a problem for them. I mean, I watched him the other night again.
Yeah, but they got Wainwright back. I mean, he's pretty much more.
But
than
who knows
if
Carpenter will be back? I mean, that's a guy that we forgot about. Who knows if he'll be back? We'll have to see. Maybe we'll make World Series picks a little bit later on down the line. But there's our division picks right now.
All right. I didn't give mine.
You want to give yours? Okay. I thought you were going to say Yankees and somebody. No.
I am going to say Yankees, even though I think Detroit is their biggest challenge again. Now, if they get Detroit in the first round, it could be trouble. I'm really hoping they get the best record and then maybe catch Tampa or something. Stay away from the Angels pitching. I'm going to say the Yankees get through. I think the pitching is going to stabilize. I think Pineda is going to be fine, and I think Pettit's going to be there in the end as well. So, and I think their lineup, their bullpen is phenomenal, and I think their lineup will be fine as well. And from the National League, I'm going off the board a little bit. I'm going to say Arizona makes it. I think they really came together last year. They have a really good lineup, young lineup, and some really good pitching as well. So I think they sneak through the NL playoffs and make the World Series.
So I did the 06 rematch. You're doing the 01 rematch. You just want revenge. That's what you want.
No, I really think vengeance. Arizona's that good. But yeah, all right, vengeance. We'll say Yankees in 6.
Okay, and one quick news story, a sports story I want to talk about before we go. I want to give a big kudos and a great – applause to the University of Arkansas for taking the high road and not thinking about football, but thinking about doing the right thing. I don't think we've seen a bigger, just worthless piece of shit human being than Bobby Petrino.
No.
He gets in a car. He gets in a motorcycle accident, acts like he's, the friggin', toughest son of a bitch on the face of the earth. Lied not only to his family but to the AD and to the school. He thought this woman was just – this woman was just a passerby. Meanwhile, he was porking her, and she was on the bike, and he gave her money, and he gave her a job. that had 158 people applied for it, and he just gave it to her. And instead of doing some cheesy little, kind of like what the Marlins did with Ozzie Guillen, some cheesy little side thing, they flat out fired him. And that was not easy to do because Arkansas is a team on the rise this year in the SEC, and that was not an easy thing to probably do. So kudos to the University of Arkansas for taking the high road and get rid of the scumbag because he deserved it. I just wanted to say that.
No, I agree. Yeah, he's a loser. Hopefully he doesn't get hired again.
No, I hope not either.
Speaking of hiring, our old friend Kano Davis headed to Central Michigan.
Yes, he's going to coach the Chippewas. Oh, and by the way, on another note, congrats to your Friars. It's been kind of a weird week for the Friars, but looks like we read today that Bryce Cotton is coming back.
That's good. I think he's a perfect sixth man, three-point shooter off the bench for next year. I know he started this year, but with the guys that got coming in, I think he'll be good off the bench.
That's what I think his concern was. I think that's why he was hedging. I bet you Cooley sat down and talked to him. I think that's what he was. I think he was wondering if his minutes were going to get even smaller because of Lito and all these guys. You know, it's pretty much all guards coming in for them, for you guys. So I think he might have been a little concerned about his playing time, but looks like everything's fine because, I mean, Coleman's gone. Coleman's a worm. I'm glad you're being rid of him.
He's talented, but he's,
he took the low road. How do you tell everybody but your coach that you're leaving?
Yeah, well, he's afraid, and he's a guy that it just seemed like he wasn't there when it mattered. he's a guy that always could drive to the hole, couldn't finish in the big spot. So it doesn't surprise me that he's running.
On a side note, playing in the event center right now, I'm letting Raw continue rolling up. I was looking for the beer, and they just did the whole Brock kicking scene. And Cena and Brock said this look at his face like, I just kicked you in the nuts.
Oh, yeah,
just like laughing at it. It was awesome. So awesome. He's just such a big, just bully. It's just so awesome. So awesome. But anyway, so. All right. I think we're good. We are good. Thank you, everyone, for joining us for episode 120. Don't forget, tomorrow night, and we thank, how much feedback do we have for our man, GMC?
I think we got 10 or 11 questions.
Good amount of questions, and of course you and I will have some, and of course Graham will have some. So stay tuned for that, that'll come up, that'll post it sometime this weekend, I imagine, right?
I'm thinking probably Friday night. Yeah.
Okay. Alright, the floor is yours for our usual plugs. Where can everyone find us, as always?
Bigelow34.proboards.com is our message board. The new tournament is starting up Monday the 23rd. We'll talk about that more next week, then we'll get into what that's going to be. Visit us on Facebook, Place to Be Podcast, Graham's Facebook, of course, of the history of WWE, his website, historyofwwe.com, Twitter, Place Number 2B Podcast, and Graham's at the history of WWE on Twitter. And also follow Wrestle Chat on Twitter, because they post all the news stories there as well. So, funny story, actually, I wanted to mention to you. My friend Eric at work, his 7-year-old daughter has been using Twitter. And you haven't.
She's probably better than I am.
Yes.
Hashtag little kid.
That made me laugh. So, all right. So there you go. Yes, follow us there as well. And of course, tomorrow night or later tonight, if you're listening to this on Thursday, we'll be interviewing Gary Michael Capetta up on the weekend, as Scott mentioned. Next week, we'll be back with the headlines and In Your House 6 as we chug along through 1996. So thank you for listening. As always, episode 120 is in the books. From my PIC, Scott Criscolo, I'm Justin Rosero. We'll talk to you later this weekend with Gary Michael Capetta. Thank you.
Good night, baby.